Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and today I'm joined by Adam Blompier.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Peter. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm not as tired as last week, so we shouldn't be as grumpy this time, I don't think.
I make no promises. I was doing WrestleMania last night and I'm always grumpy.
Get the feeling this might have been a bad idea to put you on the NXT podcast.
Well, you can't get rid of me or I'll kill you.
That's true, yeah. We've got lots to talk about with Quizzlemania, etc. It was quite a big one yesterday, but we'll talk about that in the outro of the show. But for now, let's get into talking about NXT, where we saw finally that Drake Maverick has re-signed with WWE. Here's the show. Let's get into talking about Drake Maverick re-signing with WWE, because this came about in the main event of this show when it was the finals of the Cruiserweight tournament. It was El Hijo del Fantasma versus Drake Maverick in the final. Maverick had a promo earlier in the night, which sort of made sense of him just saying, like, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. That's the beauty of it, etc.
I remember he wanted chocolate cake. I remember that. He did seem like he was having a manic episode, like you okay, hun? So I thought it was borderline back to his old comedy, which is not the angle to go with Drake Maverick. Like, he can do funny, but this is I don't think this was the time for it. They brought it back. The whole, this might be the best day of my life, this might be the worst day of my life. A solid enough a structure, but him just kind of skipping around and standing on a bench and talking about cookies, I was just like, careful now, we're in Dean Ambrose territory and I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. But it was good enough and I was still invested in the story. The match itself I thought was booked perfectly. It was just Phantasma just working down Drake Maverick the whole time, working pretty much full heel. And it did that straight from the off. He went for a handshake and then went to roll him up from the handshake immediately, kind of cementing him from the off as the heel of the match. He hit a horrible-looking sit-out powerbomb on the mats on the outside.
Sweet Jesus. Oh, yeah. Drake Maverick, either amazing seller or just genuinely was incredibly winded, but just that kind of like the rasping guttural sounds that were coming out of him. Really, really great. I think Maverick at times can maybe over-egg the drama sometimes in his matches. Like, I don't want to be a big criticism because I think Drake Maverick is great and he was really great in this match. But I think sometimes he can be a bit over performative, but that move justified literally like the other kind of incredibly high drama in the match. It was really well, really good booking. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we should talk about these lads.
Yeah.
El Conquistadores.
the luchadors in the room. So yeah, the match itself, he continued to work over his back for the whole thing, kind of really playing up the heel. There were some near falls, hit another sit out powerbomb in the ring, and Drake kicked out. It was a great near fall from that. And then the luchadors came out, and we'd predicted that Phantasma would turn heel because he was going to be aligned with the luchadors, and that half happened. So he was working heel in the match. The luchadors came out and stood in front of Phantasma and didn't touch him. They just kind of glared down at him while he was sitting kind of on the apron, leaning up against the apron of the ring. And then Maverick just came out, suicide dive out the ropes, hit them both and then beat them both up. But then that distracting, as Maverick got back in the ring, allowed Phantasma to hit a super kick and the Phantom Driver for the win. So he didn't turn heel properly, but it's looking pretty obvious that he's aligned with them because they didn't touch him. So it's just, they're kind of just dragging out the reveal for a little bit longer. So it's pretty much what we said was going to happen, but it's not 100%.
Basically the full turn wouldn't have worked with the feel good signing moment. That wouldn't have quite played. It would have been too jarring a tone. I get the feeling if Drake had not been like released and then resigned, if it had just been like an underdog story, I reckon, yeah, we would have had the turn here, because the turn with the title change, because why not go all in? But like, yeah, they had this story beat that they wanted to do, so I'm assuming like, yeah, next time we see the full like allegiance and betrayal. Other than that, because like there's no point in stringing out unless there's a big swerve coming. Like, that's it. The story's been told. Yes, he's the leader of this weird army of lucha schmoes. So that's done now. So unless, yeah, it's someone else is doing this. Maybe it's Damian Priest. Like, if someone else is doing this, let's just, yeah, next NXT, we'll get the reveal almost nailed on.
I get the feeling something they might do is something that, like, Phantasma says, you know, as like the honorable baby face, he goes, you know what? I'll give you a rematch, Drake, because those people were out there. Let's have a rematch. And then they're just going to do essentially what they would have done at the final and just have the full heel turn. And him just being like, just kidding, I'm an a-hole the whole time. And that will be a solid story for that one. But then after that, he wins the interim cruiserweight championship. Phantasma celebrates, walks off. The luchadors vanish, I guess. And then Drake Maverick's left alone, rolls out the ring. All of the crowd that they've got around them are kind of banging against the plexiglass and cheering Maverick on. It was really well done, honestly. Like, I could feel the emotion from it. Maverick's such a great actor as well. Could totally, you know, see. I don't know whether this was a shoot or not. I don't think it was, but he was kind of just soaking up the crowd, just walking out. Commentators putting over that his career was over now. And as he's walking up the ramp, Triple H comes out, gives him a hug, hands him a contract, and then they just sign it there and then. Maverick starts crying, holds up the contract, gives Triple H another hug, and Triple H kind of holds up Maverick's hand and he celebrates with the contract to end the show.
Tell you what, though, bloody hope it wasn't a shoot, because he didn't read that contract. Never sign a contract you haven't read. Triple H could have put anything in that contract, being like, "Well, you know, what's he going to do? Ruin his moments? I can like halve his pay." Like, you have no idea what your downside is. You have no idea what your sick coverage is. Like, they could have royally screwed Drake Maverick with that contract. So, yeah, almost certainly not a shoot moment. But, like, so it's tricky, right? We've been arguing, not necessarily arguing, because I think we're both on the same page about this. It's weird. And honestly, like, I don't know where Drake Maverick goes from here, because this storyline's over now. Unless they do, like, I think your idea is the best idea, which is follow up with the rematch, and the rematch is ruined, which then gives Drake an actual feud to go into. Because, yeah, like, the story's done now. What I hope is we don't now see Drake Maverick sidelined for a little bit. I hope not. I don't think that's going to be the case, because, yeah, like, one of the reasons why Drake Maverick was such a compelling character was that he was living on borrowed time, and now he's back. Like, it's uncomfortable. Because what we could do is we could talk and forever and like, at what point was he re-signed? Was he always re-signed? Was this just a long con from the outset? I get that, because there is like this pervading feeling of like, it's uncomfortable. At this point, now that he's re-signed, I'm just happy for Drake Maverick. And the more we talk about it, like after this, the only person it's not, the only person that's really not helping is Drake. Like, what the last thing I want is for people to just be talking about this angle the further he gets into his restarted WWE career. So yeah, I'm moving on, and I'm just happy to create Maverick.
Yeah. And I tell you what, regardless of what it is, like at what point is he resigned and all that stuff, he's such a good actor, and the booking from the match was so perfect and the walkout was so well done that I still bought into it anyway. It was such a brilliant story that they told, regardless of how legitimate it was or not. It was still a great story, and I bought into it every step of the way. I love Drake Maverick as a character now. I think from here, he just has to continue just being the ultimate underdog. He's got to be the Johnny Gargano of NXT. Now that Johnny Gargano isn't Johnny Gargano anymore, I think he can step into that shoes. Not necessarily saying he should be, you know, in the main events and all that stuff, but that kind of just pure-hearted, never-say-die babyface. I think that's Drake Maverick from here on out, hopefully. But regardless, I thought it was bloody great, and it was a really nice way to end off the episode. Despite the Phantasma winning the title, it was still great to have, and Maverick gets the last laugh because he's got the contract, which was, it was great.
WWE, man, they book tournaments really well. Like, it's one of their things that they just know how to do, especially NXT. They like, sometimes they overcomplicate things, like the Jeff Hardy stuff on SmackDown, maybe not so much, but like every NXT tournament I've seen, like the Cruiserweight Classic, Mae Young Classic, like they found a way to create a tournament with so many winners, like just in one tournament. Like, you know, we saw earlier in the night, Tony Nese and Swerve Scott and Jack Gallagher are all doing a thing now, which has been born out of this, the tournament, because it was booked so well. Like, yeah, like both men won this match in the main event. Both men did, because they emerged out of that match, both of them with hopefully a new trajectory, with something they've accomplished and with their stock raised. So yeah, bloody well done.
Exactly. And it was on the main event of NXT as well for the Cruiserweight Championship, which is great. I don't think it's main evented in NXT before. So awesome.
Just want to point out as well, because I haven't really talked about it, but I'm really, really digging the new design of the Cruiserweight Championship. I don't know how long it's actually been a thing, like whether or not it's the new design for this tournament, but I think that's really nice. Like, I like the more muted purple, it looks less plastic. That kind of silver design is cool. I like the fact it kind of obscures the NXT logo. You can see it there if you're looking for it. I like the little slashes of purple in it. Yeah, I think that's a really nice looking belt,
and it really complements Phantasma with the purple mask as well. Looks really good on him.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Elsewhere on the show, it opened up with the advertised Candice LeRae versus Mia Yim match, which didn't go very long because there was some booking to be done. LeRae kind of attacked her before the bell. They got into a brawl for a bit, and then it was a double count out. It was pretty quick. It was only a few minutes, and then they just both had a double count out, and then suddenly there was Tegan Nox, because Candice LeRae kind of flipped her into the Tron. Suddenly there was Tegan Nox, and then Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez came out, and then Shotzi Blackheart was there, and they all started brawling, and then suddenly there was also a Keith Lee. He was in the ring. I don't know whether this was just poorly edited, because obviously this was a pre-taped show, so I don't know whether they just edited around some stuff that we didn't see, but suddenly Keith Lee was in the ring and Johnny Gargano was on the ramp, despite having not seen them before, and the ring announcer's announcing this is now a mixed tag team match. Huh?
Yeah.
But they didn't get involved. What? I'm so confused, because like surely you then set up the six-woman tag, but they're setting up the six-woman tag for TakeOver, which is now an official match on the card. It's going to be the six women that I just mentioned. So it's Mia Yim, Tegan Nox, and Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Candice LeRae. So then, yeah, they just go mixed tag match with these guys. I was like, surely there's a better way to set this match up. But you know what? For podcast listeners, Adam just put up a GIF of Teddy Long on the screen.
Look at him go.
It's a tag match, player. Holla, holla. But I tell you what, though. For all my criticisms of how this match was set up, as soon as Keith Lee got in the ring and he grabbed Johnny Gargano and threw him into the ring, I had such a big smile on my face. I was like, oh my God. I just want this so bad. And
he can bench both Garganos. He's the strongest, sexiest, loveliest man who ever lived. I love him.
He's just so good. And yeah, it was quite entertaining because neither Keith Lee or Johnny were in wrestling gear. They seemed to be in casual clothes, which added like a surprise element to the match. And then, yeah, once Keith Lee got the hot tag and just started going nuts on Johnny Gargano, I was like, God, I cannot wait for this match. I'm so excited. But Johnny, being the sneaky boy that he is, being in casual clothes, he had his bloody car keys on him, didn't he? So as Keith Lee got him up for a spirit bomb, Johnny got out the car keys and stabbed him in the eye with it, forcing him to drop him. And using that distraction, Candice LeRae rolled up Mia Yim for the win. I thought that was really, really smart. I really liked the outcome of that match because it doesn't really give away anything for TakeOver. You barely saw any interaction between really any of these four too much. And it leaves so much for their respective matches at TakeOver. And it sets the seeds in motion of being like, yeah, Johnny's really sneaky. He could get one over on Keith Lee at TakeOver. Johnny posing with the North American title. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's like, obviously reminiscent of the recent iWork in AEW with Jericho spiking John Moxley. But yeah, like I dug it. There was just enough continuity that, yeah, he had his car keys on him because he wasn't in gear. So he used them and was a real horrible bastard about it. For me, this makes me feel a little more confident about my predictions. By the way, if you haven't seen those, do check them out. You'll find it on the WrestleTalk main YouTube channel page. There's a section with WrestleTalk predictions. Our most recent one for NXT TakeOver In Your House. They are live. But these two jokers, Pete and Laurie, chose Johnny Gargano. I think Keith Lee's going to win it. So what this reeks to me of, this reeks of Keith Lee's going in properly hurt. He'll overcome Johnny Gargano. Thanks to some sort of mix-up or whatever. Gargano can maybe do a thing to kind of get his heat back or something. And I think they're going to do the title change on TV because they really love doing title changes on TV, like everything to kind of pump these ratings. I think you're going to get a rematch. I think Gargano will win there as a result of Adam Cole's like interference, like him and Keith Lee will have a run in, you know, just like, oh, we both defended our championships, blah, blah, blah. Adam Cole will cost Keith Lee his, and then Keith Lee at the next takeover will take it from Adam Cole. At least that's what I'm hoping, because I don't want to lose prediction.
Yeah. I just think Johnny's going to win.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this. I cannot wait for that takeover match. I'm really, really excited for it. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, it was a really effective booking. As much as I was confused and I thought it was really convoluted, we mentioned last week about it being like a little bit WCW booking, and this was kind of in that vein. It was really convoluted and people were just there for reasons. It still built to a really effective match that I'm really looking forward to. So they still did it right at the end of the day.
It was a confusing road to get there. But like, unlike WCW, where you very often leave a segment being, wait, what did I just, what? No, what actually happened? This one, you're left with a very clear shot. Keith Lee is injured. Johnny Gargano now has a really kind of clear shot at the North American title.
Absolutely.
Like, convoluted, but really strong selling of that match, added an extra element that wasn't there before, turned the heat up on it. Like, generally speaking, this is a good go home show. Like, in terms of being a go home show, this is good.
100%. Really built all the matches effectively. We got a little video package for Cross and Ciampa, which I really like. This was like the Ciampa themed promo, essentially just saying that he's special and the match is going to be special, which is good. I want it to be special. Then we had Dexter Lumis backstage promo. They said, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream takeover? And he just got some paper and started drawing.
Yeah, he's the kind of caricaturist you see like on a pier in like a seaside town. You know, you bung him a fiver and he'll draw a picture of your dad with a really big head.
Yeah, like, that's exactly it.
Real weird. I don't know. I don't know, man. He's a heel, right? This is a heel gimmick. Surely,
right?
He's a serial killer. Maybe I'm being too basic. Maybe there is actually like a really winsome, lovable side to Dexter Lumis. And maybe him just being, you know, Dexter is too simple and this is like a nice little layer. I don't know. Like, it, let's like think of it like this. So when the puppets first appeared in Firefly Funhouse for the first time, everyone thought, this is really silly. Why is he doing all this kiddie nonsense? Who knows? This may be a thing. Although, like, I don't know, man. Like, for a guy who looks essentially like the white version of Jax from Mortal Kombat, like with those arms, I'd expect him to be a bit more of a monster and a bit less of, you know, a cartoonist for the New York Times.
So but
that's where we're at.
It was strange because it came back to a different backstage promo later where he'd finished the drawing. And the drawing was him driving a car with the Undisputed Era in the back. That was the drawing.
Yes.
So based on a different promo that we'll talk about in a minute, I think that lends itself to your prediction that you made on the predictions video, which I'll speak about in a second, because we got a video package of Cole and Velveteen Dream, Undisputed Era in a limo. Great. Perfect. Yes. More of that. Soon as Adam Cole gets in, they all do the hoo, 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 which was just great.
They're so good together. Kyle O'Reilly's so faces.
That was the next thing I was going to say. He's my favorite. He's just the best. And what was it? He was saying they went to some fancy restaurant and they were cheering each other because Adam Cole was a year as NXT champion. And Cole just turned around and goes, "Oh, my compliments to the chef." And it's just like the way he delivers it and the face he has when he does it. It was just, oh.
Also, they're just having salads. It's like a bit, a bit of salad with some balsamic on it. Like, don't get me wrong. Love a bit of pesto. Love a bit of balsamic vinegar. Delightful on a salad. But like, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, it's so choice. Like this episode is a lot of promos because they are selling this show. But these promos are good, man. Like NXT knows when it doesn't have to overcomplicate things in the ring, when it can just rely on the most dependable wing of WWE. You know, what? Maybe the wrestlers, but other than that, the promo department, like the vignette package team, like the best in the industry, and they made some beautiful stuff this week.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Velveteen Dream was roller skating around. Velveteen Dream spoke into a mirror.
And like a Prince tribute artist was there.
Prince was there and said, Dream's good.
Thank goodness they managed to get Prince to record that before he died 4 years ago. Weird. Oh,
but yeah. Was strange, but I guess it makes sense, question mark. They announced it's going to be a backlot brawl. They showed a few glimpses of it with cars surrounding a ring outside, the headlights from the cars lighting up the ring itself. So it's an interesting one. It should be a more cinematic match as it is. And where this links into Dexter Lumis, is Dexter Lumis drew him driving a car with Undisputed Era in, and Undisputed Era were in a limo. Dexter Lumis was driving the limo. He's going to turn on Velveteen Dream because he's been aligned with Undisputed Era already. They've already brainwashed him, you see. He's already with him.
Interesting. So, like, I don't know if the one thing Undisputed Era needs is a really weird fifth member that doesn't talk. Like they all go to the same restaurant and like everyone's like tucking in and Dexter Lumis is just sort of sitting there at the end of the table, just like,
I think that could be amazing.
Maybe. I think he's more concerned with the dream. But who knows? Like everyone's saying, like, oh, is Undisputed Era getting a bit stale? What's next for them? If adding a gigantic mute boy who really likes caricatures and stroking, like, yeah, maybe that is the thing to give them the shot in the arm that they need.
Maybe. I mean, it could just be that, you know, there's cars surrounding the ring in this backlot brawl, so maybe it's something to do with a car in the match itself. I don't know. Or maybe it just made absolutely no sense. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. It then got announced that we're going to get Larkin and Birch versus Undisputed Era, being Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, versus a mystery team for the number one contendership for the NXT Tag Titles. But before that match, we had Tony Nese versus Swerve, which I thought was great, building off their history in the Cruiserweight tournament, which led to Gallagher coming out to try and distract Swerve, but it wasn't enough because Swerve still managed to get the roll-up victory over Nese. So it seems like Swerve and Nese and Gallagher are some sort of unit potentially, or maybe they both just hate Swerve. Who knows? But some sort of program based off the tournament, which is great. I'm all for it. The match itself was really fun and fast paced. Can't complain with that at all. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, like neither Gallagher or Tony Nese are doing anything, so why not? They're both talented. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely, yeah. Then we did get that tag title match. The number one contendership tag match, which was strange. Okay, so it was Undisputed Era and Larkin and Birch, and it got revealed that the third team was Breezango.
Yay!
And they came back, and they're astronauts now. They're exactly the same as when they left. Okay. I think I'm just salty because of how they came back to NXT, because Tyler Breeze came back as Tyler Breeze, Prince Pretty from NXT. And he had his great takeover match with Dream, which was awesome. A nice little, you know, nostalgic thing for Tyler Breeze. And then Fandango came back, but he was a different Fandango. He came out in like a vest and like jeans. And we were like, oh, new Fandango, this is great. And then they started beating each other up, and then they both said to each other, we need a makeover. And then they came out and they were the Fashion Files still. And then the gimmick is that they just dress up as different professions. I feel like it's missing the point of what made the Fashion Police great when they were on the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, is like they're a showmanship tag team. Like, obviously, the Fashion Files was incredible. It was lightning in a bottle. We don't know whether or not this is going to be like Fashion Files or, you know, Damien Sandow dressing up weird every single week. Like, they're on NXT. NXT fans are into, you know, they love a bit of comedy in their wrestling. These guys, like, I'm happy they've got something to do. You could argue that both men deserve more than just something to do, but they are now challenging for the tag team titles. So there you go. Like, whether or not, like, is NXT too stacked to have Tyler Breeze and Fandango as like singles guys, or, you know, as a kind of, like, do you want, I don't know if I want Breezango to be a team and not do this. I don't know. Like, because they've always been silly. Like, I know that Tyler Breeze wasn't as silly on his first NXT run as he has become, but they're very good at, like, these images. And I really like them coming down with astronaut, outfits. And I think, I don't know, like, they're sort of a little bit in the veteran spot, which is they are being used to build up other NXT talent. Like, it feels like it's, without a sudden resurgence and a big storyline element, it's not really Fandango's time right now. But like, they're being used really, really smartly. They're an established team, they're a beloved team. It's too soon for Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, because it feels like we are on their story now. Like, with last week, you know, we finally got to see something about that team. Like, we've never really had an insight as to who they are beyond the odd backstage promo. As long as they keep building that up and they're the guys to take the belts off Imperium, like, maybe that's next takeover. Whereas in the meantime, Breezango are the perfect team to legitimize Imperium as, you know, heel dominant, and I, like you say, like, it's a bit frivolous, but it's smart. Frivolous versus Imperium. Like, Imperium are going to be so annoyed that they're facing Breezango. Although the only thing that kind of then did confuse me was we also got an appearance from these lads.
Yeah. So Breezango got the win in this match, and don't get me wrong, I think Breezango were great. I think in the ring, they did really well in this match. I'm not complaining of having them against Imperium. I'm just really not a fan of their entrance. I wish they were just, they can still be showmanship and over the top and very performative, but I just don't get the gimmick of, let's come out as construction builders. Let's come out as astronauts. Let's come out as naval people. It's just a bit weird. I don't really get it. But they got the win, and Imperium came out afterwards to stare them down. And then behind Imperium came Indu Share with Malcolm Bivens, who are also kind of in the mix of the tag division, I guess. The supposed report is that they were supposed to feud with Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne as the Bruiserweights, but then, you know, the world went crazy. And then, you know, Matt Riddle was getting called up to the main roster, so they kind of just took them off TV while they sorted out the tag division picture. But now it's been sorted out. Matt Riddle's on going to SmackDown. They've got the tag titles on Imperium, who are in NXT. Now they've decided to bring them back in. So I don't know where they fit, really. Now that Breezango are number one contenders, I don't know whether they're going to, like, cost Breezango their tag title match because they believe they should win or something, and then they spin off into a Breezango Indu Share feud. Indu Share beat them to gain momentum, and then maybe when Lorcan and Burch win the titles off Imperium, they come and challenge Lorcan and Burch. It feels a bit disjointed right now, but I'm sure it'll work itself out in time.
That seems like the neatest way of doing it. Yeah, like that's the only thing that really makes sense, because I don't want to see Indu Share just being put in the match as like a triple threat. Like, then these wonderful stakes matches at NXT, you know, has actually been really good at having most weeks, you know, a match that means something, there's something on the line. Like, it's been a really good month for that for NXT. I don't want that to kind of suddenly not mean anything. So yeah, I think that kind of makes sense. Like Breezango again, maybe being used, like maybe they'll be crushed by Indushare to kind of, and then they smash up against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I think that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed that's what they do. We had Aaliyah trying to impress Robert Stone after Robert Stone was fired by Chelsea Green because she's getting called up to the main roster. Thanks for that exclusive, Louis Danger. So Aaliyah was trying to impress Robert Stone. She lost. Santana Garrett got the win instead, and Robert Stone walked off.
I love the idea that if an agent loses their client, like, they just start sleeping in their car. Like, I don't... Surely, like, if you're an agent, right, and you lose a client, isn't that when you go into kind of self, like, presentation overdrive because you need to get another one? Like, I love the WWE pantomime shorthand of going through a difficult time right now, so I look like I come out and having been slept in a bin. Like, do you remember when Brock Lesnar was squashed by Goldberg and yeah. Paul came out and he hadn't shaved, he was just crying, he had a loose tie. It's like, I mean, like, it's like, I get it, but you also have like a makeup team. it's fine, like, I'm not complaining, it's just a fun little quirk of WWE presentation.
I'm really not sure where this story's going or if there is a story. It's muddled.
It doesn't feel like they're one. This for me feels like one of the most kind of just like plate spinning storylines. And like, who knows? Like, I trust NXT. I think Robert Stone is talented. I think Aaliyah is fine. I haven't really seen her do that much, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But like, Chelsea Green, I think, is good. Although, yeah, rumors are Chelsea Green's being called up to the main roster, which is why she separated from Stone. Yeah. So yeah, it feels like he's a little bit rudderless at the moment, which is a shame because I think he's good.
Yep, exactly. They had a really cool video package for the women's triple threat match.
I loved it.
Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair. My God, Io Shirai is the best. Oh my God. Oh, she's so good. They had her like underwater cutting a promo, and she looked all mysterious. Her hair was flowing around her and stuff, and she looked amazing. Rhea Ripley was just saying, you know, I finished my 2019 so high, and since then 2020's just been terrible. I lost my title at WrestleMania, and I just want to get it back. Charlotte Flair was Charlotte Flair. I just don't like her. It's just, I don't know. She just kept kind of, I can't tell what her character is. She's like, I'm NXT homegrown. NXT's my home. And then when people said, you don't go here, I was like, excuse me, I built here. I was like, are you a face or are you a heel? You've done both.
She's a heel, Pete. Come on now. She's a heel.
You say that.
She's a heel, Peter. Yeah. I don't know why we keep having this conversation. She's been a heel all year. She was a heel when she attacked Rhea Ripley from behind at TakeOver.
That's what makes sense. Yes, it does make sense that she would be a heel. You know what's funny, though? Apparently a report came out saying that WWE don't view her as a face or a heel. She's a Flair. Which is just the worst. I just hate it.
Ric Flair was a heel.
Yeah,
that's what made him for Ric Flair.
He really was, wasn't he? This video package was great. It just put over all three of them and how much they really want the title and how much it means to them. Io Shirai being, and they had a load of people talking about her, you know, people from radio shows and like Natalya and Beth Phoenix got involved and stuff, just talking about these people. It was great. It was so good. Really built the match effectively.
Made me feel very unconfident in my prediction. Very unconfident because Rhea's like got a storyline now, which is like, I don't care, I just want to win. And it's like, that's the sort of thing where you keep losing and there's maybe a heel turn on the horizon. So yeah, maybe it is Io's time. Io. Yep. I keep calling her Io. She's not the smallest moon of Jupiter. second smallest moon of Jupiter. Come on, hang on. I'm checking this now. Io.
Well, while you're looking that up, the last thing we'll talk about here was Cameron Grimes versus Brunson Reed.
It's the third largest of the four Galilean moons of the planet Jupiter is Io.
God, that is very specific.
There you go.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for that. Yeah, Cameron Grimes versus Bronson Reed happened. Bloody love Bronson Reed. He's the best. Yes.
He's the new Earth. He's the new Earthquake. I really like his presentation. I like how he kind of like boom, 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 just like kind of almost makes his own noises as he walks around. I think that's really fun. His entrance music is great. Look at him go.
He's just the best. He calls himself the Thick Boy. What's not to like? That's thick with two C's. And even like when he comes out and he looks at the camera and he does the claw thing. It's just, he just has a presence. He's great. But unfortunately, he did not win. Cameron Grimes won with the cave-in. It was a good match, though. It put over Bronson Reed as, you know, not complete pushover, which was nice. Cameron Grimes snuck in the cave-in and managed to get the win, which was cool. Keeps building Cameron Grimes, who's also great, apart from his hat, which is dumb. Tell you what, massive pet peeve really quick is when he hit the cave in, but he didn't like stomp down on him. He kind of pushed him down and then he fell kind of further in front than Bronson Reed. And the commentator's just going like, he didn't get all of it, but he got enough. I was like, I hate it when the commentators say that. Just stop pointing out botches. It's so annoying. It really grinds my gears.
Well, they got to say something, haven't they? Like, if someone obviously messes
but
up
they
a move.
Don't. It looked fine. It looked fine. It's, you know, when someone like completely whiffs, like, you know, a black mass or whiffs, like, you know, a John Morrison disaster kick off the ropes or something. And then, you know, if they completely whiff it and the person still sells it, you go, oh, I think he just got enough of that. That's fine. But when he does hit him with his feet, he just goes too far on the actual impact. You can just go with it. It's a finisher. Like, just, it's a finisher. He won with it. Don't say he just got it. He won the match with it. Don't make Bronson Reed look pants, because then it makes him look rubbish, because he won with a bad version of his finisher.
You're such a grumpy old man, Pete.
I am a grumpy old man. I'm continuing it on from last week. I take it back. I am grumpy this week. Anyway, then we had the main event of Phantasma and Drake Maverick, which we've already spoken about. I thought this was a really effective go-home show.
But Pete,
really, really liked it.
But Pete, you've forgotten. Karrion Kross turned up.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
He hit us the, what do they call it? The Doomsday Saito suplex. Yep, that one. Stared down the camera and just said, the match is going to be special, TikTok, etc.
I thought it was good. Just, I only wanted to point it out because I thought smart play this, because so far he's been tossing around small guys. To see him hit the Doomsday Saito on someone of Bronson Reed's size and do it with such ease, nice. A nice little extra element of, no, that's how strong Karrion Kross is. I thought it was a really nice touch.
Yes, I do agree with that, yes. It was very, very good. But yes, overall, really effective go-home show. I'm pumped for TakeOver. Can't wait.
Yeah,
I can't ask more than that, can you, for a go-home show? So, thumbs up all round. So, Adam, on Quizlemania 10 last night, the big 10-0, it was quite the show, wasn't it? God, we had David Starr on, which in and of itself was great. Sean Ross Sapp coming back in, trying to win the title back from Luke. Luke trying to win the title back from Sean, I should say. And we also had Ollie. He was also there.
Yes, putting his nipples at hazard. God bless. Yes, Quizmania 10 loved the show last night. I think it's the best one we've done. I think that seems to be the general consensus. David Starr was amazing. Stuck around for the entire 3 hours that it turned into. What a lovely guy. What a lovely entire family he's got. Because as anyone who stuck around the post show, let's just say that a member of David Starr's family gets involved in the stream and instantly gets himself over with everybody. It's wonderful. Fun little behind the scenes. So we almost lost David Starr last night because Philadelphia, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, but was hit with severe storms yesterday, and vast bits, especially in the suburbs, lost power. So I got a message from David Starr just under an hour before Quizzlemania 10 was supposed to start, saying like, hey, so I've got no power. Can I just phone in? And I was like, not really, because I don't know how that works. And also I've spent loads of time photoshopping these pictures of your nipples. I didn't tell him that bit. But we were like, oh God, do we find someone else? Because obviously after No Way Jose had to change plans at the last minute, then he was like, oh no, every time we get a wrestler. And like everyone on Discord was panicking, like, oh, who do we get? Maybe we could get, you know, Andy being like, well, I guess I'll do it. thankfully, David Starr went to his mother's store, which I believe is in a different part of Philadelphia, managed to do the entire stream from there, because thankfully that building had Wi-Fi. And I found that out 15 minutes before we were going to go on air that he could do the show. So that was fun. That was a horrible, stressful time. But it did turn into, I think, our best show. We raised well over $6,000 for Calm, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great show. And for once, Michelle, my partner, she didn't watch the show for once. She was hanging out with her friends. How dare she? And I told her afterwards, I was like, that's the best Quizzlemania that there's been so far. And she's like, you say this every week. And I'm like, but I mean it this time. It really is.
Yeah, really happy. Amazing. Seeing a lot of support coming from the fans. It was just a really good guest spot. Sean Ross Sapp proved why he's one of the MVPs we've ever had on Quizzlemania. Luke had a wonderful showing, and Ollie waxed his chest because Ollie came last by a significant margin as well.
Can I just say as well? This is the running thing, is that I lose a lot and Ollie loses a lot. I've got way more points than Ollie pretty much every time I've been on this show.
That's
Ollie
true.
Got like what, 18 points in the whole show? And like, I got like, last time I was on, I think I got like 40 something. I got like over double what he got.
Yeah, Ollie's come last 5 times, technically. You've only come last 3 times. Obviously, the first time you played, you came second.
Yeah, I know.
So, this whole kind of thing that Pete's a loser, Pete's one of Quizzlemania's great losers. We should do an all loser one with Ollie and Pete. Like, it's not completely warranted. You do pretty well.
Okay sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, you only come last 3 times, and that's nothing in the grand scheme of things.
It's only 3 out of 4, you know, it's fine. I've got a really nice email I did want to read out.
Please.
From Eli, who emails in to say, hi, Pete, and hopefully Adam.
Hi.
I was listening to Adam and Luke on the magazine show last week and noticed how comfortable Adam was on the team, despite only being there for a little while. I wanted to ask, at what point did you and Adam feel at home at WrestleTalk? I mean, I imagine there's a very casual and friendly atmosphere, and you guys are likely friends before or at the same time as co-workers. Was there a specific project or moment where you both felt, this is right for me, I feel at home? I also asked Luke and Ollie, so I'll continue down the line of WrestleTykes. Thank you in advance, Eli. For me, it took a little while. Not that I didn't feel welcomed or anything. I just felt very much, because before I was just a guy. I was just a dude that watched YouTube videos. And then within the space of like 7 months, I went from like just a dude to writing on the website, editing on the website, do you want to come in for a screen test? And I was like, what's happening? This is mental. Once I even started working, it took a little while to even get into the fact of to register. I'm like, I'm actually doing this. This is crazy. I can't think if there was a specific moment. But all I know is that at the Christmas do last year, in the year just gone, there was a moment where I kind of caught myself where everyone was singing karaoke and I just kind of looked around the room. I was like, this is mental. Like, what am I doing? I'm drunk with everyone. And we're all singing karaoke. These are people that I used to watch on YouTube. What's happening?
Did you have that kind of American Pie ending where everyone just kind of raised a cup to each other and solemnly nodded in friendship?
I mean, I don't know, was it? I think it was the time we went with you, wasn't it? Where we all stood up and sang My Way.
Yeah.
Like Frank Sinatra. That was a good time. Nice. So no, sorry to give a disappointing answer. I can't think of a specific time where I was just like, this is right now. No, I'll think about it more. What about you, Adam? Is there anything you can think of?
Yeah, no roles barred for sure. That was the series that got me in contact really with Wrestle Talk generally. Like, I'd known Ollie and Alex before, during my What Culture days, in fact. We'd encountered each other, of course, and we'd been speaking for a little while, so I was more familiar with Ollie. I knew obviously that Ollie's very nice. Everyone in Wrestle Talk is very nice. They're a lovely bunch of boys. And also, like, I think it was weird because I was coming in to do largely what I'd done elsewhere, which is a little strange, I guess. But it was weird. So I was coming into a place doing a job that I was certainly versed in, and also doing it with people who sort of knew what I did and kind of knew of me, like kind of on camera and stuff. So I was a little disjointed at first. Like, everyone was really nice. Like, yeah, Wrestle Talk is almost insultingly a pleasant bunch of I like very suspicious, but it was no roles barred because that was like the first time that we did something I think really as a group. Obviously, like, yeah, you were there in the room watching, and like, yeah, it was the first time like properly playing a game really with Luke and Ollie, and obviously Tom was there, so I felt really comfortable because I'd known him for 20 years, so that was a really nice kind of glue. And like Lolo was there as well, and like she's amazing and new, like she just walked in and immediately owned the room because of course she's amazing. And I think it was just like that, because it's like play is one of the things that really binds people together. I can't remember the name of the philosopher, and I'm not going to be pretentious to just kind of guess. But there is a philosopher who said you learn more in an hour of play than in a lifetime of conversation about someone else. And generally, yeah, just kind of like, that's why I love board games so much. I think it really, you get to see aspects of people's characters that when you're in a more formal social setting, they don't reveal to you. They're more guarded. Whereas play lets those things down. Like, I didn't realize, because it wasn't until I, saw Laurie as Tony the Milkman that I realized just how kind of like performative Laurie was, and like what kind of sense of humor he's got, how cooperative he is, how good a listener he is, and stuff. Like, I think we all conduct ourselves in different ways, like in the office, but it was that moment of like professional play that I was just like, this really feels like a cohesive group of folk, and I'm happy I'm here.
Yeah, I that's a good shout for when you were there, because not to get too real with this or anything, but I could tell when you came in, you felt a little bit like you're feeling yourself out a bit. You're like, am I here? Am I not? I like these guys. Do I like these guys? It was a bit like disjointed, like you said, disjointed at the start. But I definitely, when No Roles Barred kicked up, it was definitely like, yeah, Adam's one of the boys now. This is good. Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Well, that was the thing. You hadn't, like, at that point, you hadn't imported What Culture Adam anymore, because I'd done like bookings and lists. Like, sure, it felt like I was sort of being a little bit copied and pasted from another place, with a different, a dynamic, and that, like, but making something new, being just like, yes, this is my first proper Wrestle Talk project,
and yeah
that was really nice.
Yeah, it was really good. While you were saying that, I did manage to think of a time when I felt like it was a bit, when I felt okay being here, because just in general, again, not to get too real, but like imposter syndrome is like huge. Like, oh my god, all the time I'm like, I don't belong here, this is ridiculous, I'm just a dude who watches videos, why am I around all these funny people? But there was a time when I think I was doing a news video, which in and of itself, because I started off on the second channel that's now Parts of Unknown, that was Screenstalker originally. I started off just doing videos for that. And then when Ollie just said, by the way, we're going to have you do a WrestleTalk video, weekend video on WrestleTalk, I was like, oh God, I'm going on the big channel. And it took a couple of tries, but there was one time I think I covered for someone doing a news video and Ollie watched it back. And he just turned to me, just like kind of offhand comment, and said, oh, that was really good. I was like, yeah. I was like, that, I did it.
Dad.
He was watching it and I made him laugh. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm here now. This is good. So it was nice. I can't tell you when that was, though. But sometime, you know, a couple months after it started, I guess. But yeah, thanks for the email, Eli. That was good. We got talking about emotions and stuff. Great email, mate.
Right in my heart.
Right in the feels. Anyway, that's probably all the time we've got for this episode of the NXT podcast. Thanks for emailing in, Eli, and thank you for listening. We'll be back. We've got the AEW review today, of course. We've got TakeOver In Your House on Sunday, and we're going to be having a review of that on Monday as well. I don't know who's doing it, but we'll have one. And then we're back into the loop because it's Backlash the week after. God, there's so much content. Right. Thanks for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.